It seems that conflict is inevitable. Even if we do no wrong, someone out there is all set to do some wrong to us. Resolving the resulting conflicts can be as painful as it is necessary. We must extend forgiveness, even when every emotion in us tells us to get even instead. Today, more practical counsel on reconciliation, making things right with God and man. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer is continuing his series on what happens after you've blown it, reconnecting with God and others. Today he comes with his sixth and final message, one that points the way from sin to forgiveness to reconciliation.
We've prayed a number of times today, but I want you to bow your heads with me and close your eyes one last time as we invite the blessed Holy Spirit of God to do something in us that no man could ever possibly do. Would you join me? Father, in Jesus' name, we ask that as these truths are shared, for many, they may be painful and obedience may be difficult. But we ask, O Father, that whatever you say to us, you shall grant the ability, the courage, and the strength to do. And we pray that we may not listen for others today, but listen for ourselves. We ask in the blessed name of Jesus, upon whom we depend, and the one whom we love. Amen. We've been learning in recent weeks that there are two connections, and all of us are born with a desire, an indistinguishable and inexhaustible desire, I should say. A desire, a thirst for God and for others. As a matter of fact, everybody is seeking after God, even those who go headlong into pleasure and who try this and that. They don't know what it is that they're looking for, but they are seeking for God, because thou hast made us for thyself, said Augustine, and our hearts are restless until they find their all in thee. But also, we're looking for meaningful connections with other people. We were created as social beings, and God made it very clear it is not good for man to be alone, and it is not good for man to be alone, nor for woman to be alone. We all desire that there be others who share their lives with us in some way. The problem is that sin always breaks human relationships. Sin destroys our relationship with God, and it destroys our relationship with one another. Consequently, we've been speaking on the topic, which is entitled, After You've Blown at Reconnecting with God and with Others. Three of the messages particularly had to do with connecting with God. Today we're going to be speaking about connecting with one another. We're going to be talking about reconciliation and forgiveness and oneness and unity and love as we talk about our differences and discuss how they can be laid aside. Now, you know that in the last message on this series, I gave you seven principles, but I got through only three of them. Today, we're going to pick up the last four. And in order, though, to provide some kind of continuity, but I do need to say that it is very important that you get the message that preceded this one on this particular topic of reconciliation. I'll simply review where we were. We mentioned, first of all, that sometimes reconciliation is impossible. And I gave you some instances in which reconciliation simply does not work. That was in the preceding message. But now the principles. Number one, we must confess our faults and failures to those we have wronged. And we emphasize that even if our part is only, say, 20% and someone else's is 80%, we treat the 20% as if it were the 100%. We take care of our side of the teeter-totter. The second principle we discussed is that confession must be as broad as the offense. All those who are involved in our offense should be involved in our forgiveness, in our restoration, and in the unity that should be achieved as a result of that forgiveness and restoration. Third, and this became very difficult, you remember in the last message, reconciliation, whenever necessary, involves restitution. Restitution should be made whenever there is a debt that can be paid. A debt that has been incurred because of our own sin and because of our own negligence and our own offense. True story. Here's a man who works for Ford Motor Company. And when he comes home at night, he brings more than an empty lunch basket. He also brings some tools with a Ford insignia, and he uses them at home. And then the Holy Spirit of God begins to speak to him, and he begins to pray really sincerely, not all those little prayers, oh God bless everyone, but he really wants to have power with God and men. He's really desperate, and God says, don't bother, look at the tools that are on your bench in the basement. Now he has a decision to make. Can he simply say, well, I accept God's forgiveness? Well, he accepts God's forgiveness, but to have a conscience that is without offense before God and man, he has to go back to Ford and he has to say, I took these tools. You say, well, there could be terrible consequences. Yes, there could be. But again, we're back to the question of how much are you willing to pay to be fully right with God and man? You say, well, the things that I've done, there can be no restitution for. Maybe you swindled so much money, there's no possibility of paying it back. Well, in a case like that, you have to commit the matter to the Lord, and sometimes maybe even there may be a way to make it right. In the New Testament, there's an interesting story of a man by the name of Onesimus who ran away from his slave owner. And the Apostle Paul says, whatever he has taken, I will repay. So Paul made restitution for Onesimus. This is where we need wisdom. I mentioned to you last time that what I'm sharing with you is biblical counsel, hopefully with huge doses of good wisdom. And you have to seek the Lord. Here's a woman who writes an essay in college, and she gets several hundred dollars because hers was the top essay, which she did not write. There's no way there to go back and to correct this because the essay contest has long since passed and the organization that sponsored it no longer is in existence. So what does she do? She takes the money that she wrongfully received and she puts it into the offering plate as conscience money. Because what she wants to do is to make sure that she has done everything humanly possible to make things right with God and with others. And last time I told you the story of a man for whom restitution meant jail time, possibly for the rest of his life. But it's worth it because there is nothing as important as living to please God. Well, all that by way of review. Now we come to the fourth principle. Forgiveness must be granted whether it is sought or unsought. Now, you and I know that forgiveness is very difficult. You say, Pastor Luther, why is it so hard to forgive? Well, I'm here today to tell you. Forgiveness is so difficult because forgiveness is so unjust. That's the problem with forgiveness. Because forgiveness says, I'm not demanding what is owed me. Forgiveness is saying that even though I've been wronged, I will bear the wrong and I will no longer hold you guilty of having done the wrong. I'll let God take care of that, as we shall see in a moment. But I set you free. I set aside what is owed me and I give up my demands to be paid. Oh, that hurts. But it's the only way of freedom and it's the only biblical way. Now, there are some of my friends who disagree and they say forgiveness always means reconciliation. I don't believe that. If we had more time, I would go through all the scriptures and show you why I disagree with some people who have many good things to say about forgiveness. But on this point, we have a disagreement. What I'm saying is that it's possible to forgive someone who has died. some relative of yours who abused you. There's no possibility of reconciliation, but you can forgive. You can choose to lay down your bitterness and commit the matter to the Lord, as we shall explain today. You can forgive someone who does not even ask for your forgiveness. If you've been wronged by someone, if you've been abused, and that person does not come and ask forgiveness, and may I add, they seldom do. What you can do is to choose before God to give up that bitterness and to say, Lord, this is yours. I can't deal with it. It is ruining me. Hasn't that person done enough damage against you yet? Must he also poison the rest of your life by you carrying the resentment and the bitterness? No, you forgive in the sense that you give that resentment and bitterness and revenge to God. And then you can even forgive those who ask for forgiveness. But catch this now, you may withhold reconciliation. This gets sensitive now because I don't want to be misunderstood, but you remember in the preceding message, that man, that womanizer who thought that his wife should forgive him whenever he was out with another woman, and no matter how often he asked for forgiveness, Jesus said 40 times, what was it Jesus said, 70 times 7, and that she should forgive him. Yes, she may forgive, but reconciliation is another matter.
This is Pastor Lutzer. The message that I have preached today may be of great value to many of you who struggle with this matter of forgiveness, how hard it is to give our feelings to God. I remember one day when someone had done me wrong and I felt that they were so unfair. I was so full of anger and I was trying to sleep and I couldn't. And so I got out of bed and I just held my hands before God. I opened them and I said, Lord, just as these hands are opened, in the very same way, I am opening my heart to give you feelings that I cannot manage. And I need to tell you, in my instance, even though the wrong that was done against me was really not that great in comparison to what some of you have endured, but I need to say that at that moment, God freed me from this bitterness and from the constant attention that my mind was giving to what this person had done. You know how it is. You just can't get your mind off of it. It's always there. It's like the woman who said, there's a stone that is in my heart. My friend, today, give God that stone. Whether the person has asked for forgiveness or not, release those feelings to him. Lay aside all bitterness, as the scripture says, and when you do that, God is able to set you free. And Jesus says that you can be free indeed.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Dr. Erwin Lutzer has wrapped up part one of his final message from the series, After You've Blown It, Reconnecting with God and Others. Tomorrow we'll learn how to handle those messy situations that can make reconciliation difficult or even impossible. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church, to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. Our current series is available on CD, cassette, and MP3. Also, it's in print as a Multnomah Life Change book. For full information, call toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about the series After You've Blown It. Visit our website at runningtowin.org or write to Dr. Lutzer at Running to Win, 1609 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This broadcast is supported by listeners like you. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's edition of Running to Win.